Welcome back to Metaphoric Illness 101. I am your host, Lauren Camp. Today we will be speaking of the 8th section of The Culture of Fear. This section is called Metaphoric Illness. This chapter is about how many people take the fear of something that has happened once and causing it to spread rapidly, as they are afraid it may happen to them eventually. It also speaks about how this fear causes more problems that could harm themselves or maybe others. These experiences and problems inhibit people from seeking treatment if needed or catching something sooner than it is expected. The people that are part of the scare use metaphors to understand fatal illnesses and also create what this section is over, metaphoric illness. These illnesses are helping society come to terms with features that we are unprepared to confront directly. The diseases discussed in this chapter of neurasthenia, Gulf War syndrome, and breast implant disorders that have confirmed doubts that new technology is truly pernicious. In this chapter, it is broken down into several parts. The first part is called battle fatigue. It is the start of the information of the Gulf War syndrome and how it has become a major part of metaphoric illness. This section discusses about the Persian War, Gulf War, in 1991, a war that the media and the military saw as a clean, swift, and almost bloodless war. But in reality, it was a brutally lopsided affair. Of 146 Americans, there were 100,000 Iraqis that had died in this war. 10,000 of those Iraqis were soldiers and 2,500 were civilians. It was a $61 billion bloodbath, but because of the media, it was not talked about much because they thought the war was easily won. According to military.com, the article Gulf War Syndrome says that symptoms of this illness include chronic fatigue, a gastrointestinal disorder, along with normal sickness symptoms that could also include memory loss. This next section is named All for What. In this section, it talks about the stories that are exaggerated, if not totally false, like the high stories and photographs that had happened in Iraq. These stories and photographs were of soldiers destroying incubators in hospitals and leaving the babies to die. But it was shown that the stories were exaggerated and, if not, completely untrue. The ones who wrote these stories were known as Kuwaitis, who paid $11.5 million to get these stories published. They were trying to get this story published to get support for the war. The Gulf War syndrome went viral when the media got a hold of the stories and pictures to get the attention of society. Then came the birth defect of children of the Gulf War veterans. There is no actual evidence that had shown the defects were caused by the Gulf War syndrome. There was actually no evidence to conclude either scares were true. The third section of Chapter 8 is called Circuitous Critique. This section was about the 1990s, where the Gulf War syndrome was the way to criticizing the Pentagon. The people had used a syndrome to come to terms with the military and a disease to talk of war as problematic. These soldiers that the society were so-called coming to terms with went through countless medical exams to find this out about this syndrome, rather than getting the psychological help needed. They would go through medical exams because they believed that they had a very unique organic illness that nobody in the world had ever had except for them. The soldiers believed this too because studies had been thrown out by the people, and those people had only mentioned the negatives said by researchers in the studies. They were taking the negative information to get at the Pentagon. And they used that info along with the Gulf War syndrome scare to make society think what war is and has been doing to our veterans, when all of That was untrue. Fears were being fed off one another, and the Gulf War syndrome helped those who were iffy about the multiple chemical sensitivity. In the section, Multiple Chemical Sensitivity, writers were writing the scare statistics of MCS as afflicting 15 to 33% of the population, but failed to be said by these writers, the people who were suffering from MCS were actually suffering from asthma, depression, and eczema, and were just extremely sensitive to smell. And according to the MCS article, some professionals believe that the illness was completely untrue. People were often telling stories that were similar, but not totally accurate. But why would they do such thing? They did this because if multiple people were telling similar and horrific stories, then they must be true, so they were not questioned by society. Patients were learning about the disease through the media, and we all know that the media does not always know exactly what they are speaking about. Then they would unconsciously develop the symptoms and attract the media to them. These metaphoric illnesses had something in common. They all serve as evidence of deficiencies in an institution, and this led us to the section, Hearing Voices. This section is the start of the conversation about breast implants and their failures causing disease like cancer. Studies had shown that there was no actual evidence that the implant was the cause of these diseases, and with the media rising, the FDA had banned the implants of the wakes of congressional hearings and TV talk shows. According to the article, breast implant illnesses, it states that the FDA believed that the implants are reasonably safe and effective if used properly, but emphasizes that they are not lifetime devices and that the surgeon should provide with safety info for the various implants. Implanted women spoke of a variety of implants. The FDA issued alarmist projections that 75,000 women developed major health problems because of their implants, but women with implants have come down with the same amount of illness as women without. Four to five women get implants for cosmetic purposes, and when ill, they were dismissed by male physicians, told to use medical devices that aren't safe. Breast implants produce considerable pain and discomfort, causing capsular contractions. The ban of implants and the scare created a greater cancer risk than the implants themselves. The section cashing in was just going on with the breast implants. It says some cashing out of implant business and some were cashing in, like TV talk shows and law firms especially. TV shows all over were talking about Thorpe, who was a woman who had an implant, cut it out with a razor herself. The horror of implants became a commonplace topic throughout. TV talk shows, attorneys fed off of this topic. Attorneys won up to $25 million from these women, but they got 40% of the reward. Federal court granted $4.25 billion to a global settlement to compensate women nationwide. John O'Quinn and Rick Laminick were attorneys that mass produced suits for more than 2,500 women. They were named lawyers from hell and grossed up to $100 million in implant settlements. 4,700 women with implants and had at least 90% were referred by lawyers. This led to the topic a bizarre bit follows. Colada exposed activities of a gang of doctors, lawyers who exploited women's suffering. Facts don't trouble knowing doctors and med researchers can be generally trusted in scientific method. Corporate sponsors tried to defer scientific research that might hurt their profits, and activists for metaphoric illnesses seldom apologized and backed off. That's how you knew the difference. And proven effective at something more menacing than trying to suppress scientific results. Intimidation prevented the research because they were afraid that they would be hit with lawsuits and made to be more of a problem to the people and to TV talk shows. And to seduce public support, they supplied media with more horror stories. Next, we have a shot at sanity. And although the storm died down over tort reforms, it still left some things causing little warning labels trying to avoid lawsuits. When the vaccine damaged child came out over the DBT vaccine, the cause of a panic began. It caused much panic in mainly parents, but the FDA stated their footnotes stating it wasn't the vaccine and stated the facts before the vaccine was introduced. The truth stood little chance of stopping the spread of a metaphoric illness, but because of the spread, less children were being vaccinated and the whooping cough began to rise. With studies, it shows that the relative safety of the vaccine was true and that without them, more people would get sick. According to the story behind the MMR scare, the Daily Mail reported that 2 million children risked catching measles as a result of the MMR scare. It was because that their parents were aware of the multiple vaccinations, but they were supposed to link to autism. But because of this scare, they did not receive the vaccination, and so because of this, they were at risk for the measles, and that increased another scare to fear for parents either to get a vaccination or for their children to get sick. And lastly, we have keeping doubt alive. The vaccine scare has put so many bad things into reality about metaphoric illness, but has put more fear into American society more than anything. The scare has gone on way longer than it should because of the media and the anxiety of people. Barbara Lowe Fisher was one person persuading these people by producing newsletters going against the medical field when there was the scare over vaccine embedded. In the late 1980s, early 1990s, the reporters would take her stories and run with them like the vaccine hurting children. And when Miss Alabama, who was deaf, won the Miss American pageant, the mother said she became deaf because of the DPT shot. But the hearing loss was actually caused by an infection. But that's not what media wanted to hear. Although the scare shot up, the FDA had already created a new vaccine, but because of lawsuits, feared they took extreme precautions before it went viral. Advocacy groups achieved fear campaigns, but rarely mentioned the advocacy of medical science. That is just a brief introduction of the culture of fear. Chapter 8 had an overview of how society is bringing fear to others because of illnesses that may not be actual illnesses, but are caused by the fear of society growing and them wanting to make something to cause a rise in people to grab attention. And that concludes this podcast.